In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, my friends, the first thing I'd like to do this morning is to explain, just very briefly, this parable that we had today, just in case there's any confusion here on what our Lord is trying to teach us. So, here we have a steward. He hasn't been doing a good job. He's been wasting his master's goods. His master finds out about it. He calls him in and said, look, I've heard this about you. Get the papers together. Organize the bookkeeping because you're fired. And the steward says, well, my goodness, what am I going to do? I'm not exactly a tradey kind of person. I'm not good at working with my hands. I don't want to beg. What am I going to do? And he says, well, here's what I'll do. I will cook the books. I will call in the debtors who owe things to my master, and I will change the books to show that they owe less than they really do owe, and I'll make sure that these different debtors are aware that I'm the one doing this favor for them, and then after I am fired, I will be able to go to them, and they will take care of me because I have done them this good turn, fraudulent though it is. And the master of the house, afterward, he finds out that the steward did this, and he commends him, not because he's done something good, but, as the gospel says, inasmuch as he did prudently. Right. And then, of course, our Lord draws the lesson for us that we are meant to be as shrewd in the business of our soul as most people are in earthly business. That's the idea. So basically, our Lord is, and you can see the gentleness of God, that in trying to teach us a lesson which is important for our soul, he's able to teach it through a parable, which we can all understand, at least once it's been explained. We can all understand. And our Lord is saying, look, what you naturally do, what it is human for you to do with regard to earthly things, that same energy and shrewdness should be applied to spiritual things. And if you do that, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. So, with that understanding of the parable, I'd like to talk a little bit about today, why is it that the children of light are not as prudent as the children of this world? Why is it that we find it difficult to just go for it, to just go after it, to chase after, to pursue, as St. Paul would say, the kingdom of God, our holiness and our best interests? Why can't we just be as direct in pursuing the good of our soul? Well, obviously, I'm not going to be able to say everything with regard to that, but I'll give you three reasons today. Why is it we're not just direct? Why do we not just go for it? And the first reason is perhaps the most obvious, and we don't need to spend a lot of time on that. It's because we don't want to. We don't want to. We're lazy, and we're proud, and we're selfish, and maybe we're attached to sinful things. And we just don't want to. We'd rather have, at least for a little while longer, because that's usually how the temptation works, that, of course, eventually I'll leave these things behind. I don't really want to lose my soul. No, of course not. But I just want to keep them a little bit longer. I want to indulge my selfishness, my pride, or my attachment to these things a little bit longer. And so I don't want to. I don't want to just be like a child of God and follow the inspirations of God to holiness. Well, okay. Not much needs to be said there. Just a reminder of what St. Paul says in the epistle. If we live according to the flesh, we will die. The life of our soul will be killed, and we will be punished after we die. But I think we can just mention briefly at this point that these things that we are attached to, these sinful things, okay, if we are one of these people, they are opposed not just to supernatural life, but they're even opposed to what would be the noble, good human life. Right? So just to mention that, because sometimes we can think that, well, I mean, I'm not such a bad person. I'm just not living according to the standard that our Lord has set. Well, that's true. You're not perhaps living at that standard, but someone who is living a life of laziness or pride or selfishness or attachment to sinful pleasures, if getting to heaven was just a question of being a good human being, a person like that would still fail the test. We would still miss the goal. If our problem is these attachments to these sinful things, that's not even a good human life. So I just mentioned that. Which kind of brings me to the second reason, perhaps, why we find it hard to be just direct in our pursuit of our own holiness, the pursuit of our own welfare, really, of our own best interest. And that is this sort of unspoken misconception that if I try to be holy, if I try to be supernatural, I can only do that by leaving behind something of my humanness. And that's very difficult. That's a very difficult thing for me to do. It's like God's asking me to be unnatural. He has set before me this beautiful vocation, I guess, of being a child of God, but it almost seems like I have to be unnatural. I have to leave something behind of my humanness, and that causes me to hesitate. So let's just face that. Let's just face that misconception. And it's very simple. There is a kind of opposition. Obviously, there's kind of a struggle in us, a tug of war, if you will. But the opposition is not between the supernatural life, the life of being a child of God, on the one hand, and the good, noble human life, on the other hand. That's not the opposition. The opposition is between the supernatural life and the good human life, who are together. Okay? They're not the same. They're not the same. That would be a modernist idea, that somehow to be a good human being and to be a child of God is the same thing. No, they're not. But they are aligned. They are aligned. They're not opposed. But they are opposed, on the other hand, to the life of fallen nature. The wounds of original sin within us, the tendencies of rebellion within us, the tendencies to selfishness within us. Yes, that's true. So it is what St. Paul calls the life of the flesh, the life of our wounded nature and everything that goes with it, which is opposed to both the supernatural life and the good human life, the noble life of our own human nature. And that's why St. Paul is saying, well, look, you have to understand, we're not debtors to the flesh. Under no circumstances should we feel obliged, not even out of a sense of our own humanness, fidelity or authenticity to our own humanness, to be debtors to the flesh. These tendencies of our fallen nature are opposed even to our own human nature as it is meant to be. So we owe it nothing. Nothing. Now, the third reason that we're going to mention today is a very recent problem, I think. And I ask you to pray and think over this, because this, I think, is a problem that's very particular to our modern time. And I was thinking about this because something was niggling at me when I was thinking about the fact that when we read about the lives of the saints, even relatively recent saints, oftentimes, if they are praying for great sinners or they're priests who are working for the conversion of great sinners, we hear these stories about people who are great sinners who, through certain circumstances, are led to quite abrupt, sudden conversions. Doesn't happen every day, of course, but it wasn't that uncommon that you would have someone, often they would have known the faith from their childhood, then strayed into a very, very wicked life, but nevertheless, at a certain point, they're sort of brought to themselves, and they encounter a priest or some other person who's very kind to them, who sort of shows them what the goodness of God is, shows them a little reflection of what the good of God is, and with an amazing directness, they leave behind their old life and they go back, or they convert for the first time. Right? I was just, it's not just in the distant past this would happen. I read recently the biographies of two condemned murderers, one French, one American, living around the time of the Second World War, a little bit after that time, so the 40s, the 50s. And these were two men who obviously had gone horribly, horribly wrong. Right? And they go to prison and they convert. Right? One of them a Catholic who discovers his faith again, one a non-Catholic who converts. But what struck me when I was reading these two biographies is that their path was so very direct. Right? They saw what they needed to do, of course, with the help of grace and all that. But then they just went for it, the way that our Lord is trying to describe in the parable today. But that is not so common today. And I would even say we can point to people who are good faithful, decent faithful, who have no serious obstacles to really just making some pretty impressive progress. Nothing seriously, seriously wrong. And yet, even when they're given a lot of extra help, they don't move. They don't move. And this is what made me reflect and realize that we have a particular difficulty in today's world that was not so common before. And it seems like there's an extra level of obstacle to that direct pursuit of the human and the supernatural good, because we live in a time where people take their feelings very, very seriously. Now, of course, that leads to some really, really strange things nowadays, where even very, very obvious truths, biological truths, for example, can't be spoken about because someone might be offended. And we can all see, I'm sure, the utter absurdity of that aspect of the modern world, that things which are absolutely, obviously true just can't be spoken about because someone's feelings might get hurt. And we all see that. But you understand, that extreme absurdity is only possible because the time we're living in as a whole is somehow preoccupied with this question of personal feelings. And I'm telling you, when I try to help souls, as well as when I reflect on the whole picture of why things don't seem to move as efficiently as they used to, when people have the right advantages, right? Even when they have the right advantages, things don't move efficiently. Why is it that people tend to stall out on the road? And it seems like, because in human life, in all of our lives, of course, there's going to be things that are difficult for our emotions, things that are going to be difficult for our feelings. But people become preoccupied with their feelings. And it's not as though they have some sinful attachment and they're not ready to leave it behind yet. Of course, that can be the case for certain people. But it's just their feelings are too much in turmoil, and so they're not ready to move yet. They have the idea that until their feelings somehow get unhurt, until their feelings calm down a little bit, they can't just do what they ought to do. They can't just pursue the life of virtue. Not yet. I have to wait until my feelings are unhurt. I don't feel yet that I have been affirmed in the way that I wanted to be. Or I still feel like I'm a bit misunderstood. Or I still feel that my contributions, which are very good, my contributions have not been acknowledged sufficiently yet. This is, and I'm not saying this to make fun of anybody, but this is something we need to face. It's always been the case for us wounded human beings that we could be debtors to the flesh. But this is a new thing. We are debtors to our feelings. Until I feel somehow comfortable, until my feelings are not hurt, until I feel I'm completely understood, until I feel like I'm affirmed and acknowledged, I'm just not ready to go forward yet. Well, we need to go forward. We can't be debtors to our feelings any more than we are debtors to our flesh. We have to just do it. We have to take the grace of God that He offers us and apply it to our life, and we have to pursue. We have to want to have this, of course, with our ups and downs and our two steps forward and our one step back, that's the aspect of any human progress. But nevertheless, we have to have this sense of forward progress. And we need to have it always. We need to move. And we can't wait until we reach this sort of fictitious emotional equilibrium, which is never going to happen. We are each of us on earth to become someone whom no one else can be. That's the beautiful reality of our life. We are each of us put on earth to do something that no one else can do. We are loved by God in that special way that we each have a unique vocation. And even our human goodness and our human greatness depends on us becoming that person. We will both reach our human potential and our supernatural potential, or we will reach neither. And yet, because of the goodness and wisdom of God, the system is set up in our favor. We have our weakness and our sinfulness. Of course, we have obstacles to overcome. But our Lord has set up the system so that we will succeed. We have the sacraments. We have prayer. We have the help of God ready to come to our aid. We have the providential circumstances of our life that have all been written to help each person overcome their own defects and their own fragilities. It's all there. The system is set up so that we will succeed. But we have to take the step, and it has to be direct. We have to look for virtue. We can't be distracted. We can't be distracted about how I feel. I just have to ask, what does virtue demand of me right now? And then I've got to lift my foot, and I've got to step forward. And then we will have the great satisfaction that comes from our efforts, that sense that, yes, I have accomplished something good, and eventually maybe I've even accomplished something great. If I just take the step forward, I will have the satisfaction that comes from effort, and I will also have rest for my soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.